Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion and delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They have to be my views, and, hopefully they're the views of Pastor David Whitney. David, are you here? All right, well, maybe you could go ahead and give him a call. Anyway, we're going to be talking about the Constitution, and really the Constitution is the very foundation of our way of life. You know, down through the ages, men have sought to be free, and they've sought various methods of doing it, and of course there have been time and time again when people have overthrown the existing government. But whenever you establish a new government, it usually has a ruler, and then, of course, that ruler becomes, increasingly tyrannical, especially if there's anybody who's trying to overthrow the government. And so even a just and noble ruler, when faced with the possibility that evil people are going to take control, has to become evil himself to prevent the evil people from taking control. And that was a message that Bastiat wrote about back in 1848 in his book, The Law, which we do carry. But the history of civilization has always been that there were those who want power over the lives of the other people. And what was so unique about our Constitution was, number one, it limited the power of government. So even if you had a Adolf Hitler or it didn't matter who it was, who was in a position of power, as long as he adhered to the laws of the land, he couldn't become tyrannical. And, of course, what we did was take the chains off of the people and put the chains onto government. Because, of course, as John Locke had said in the previous century, that government governs best, that governs the least. Well, how far we've gotten away from that is just amazing. But the significant thing is we still have the Constitution that is the law of the land, and it doesn't matter what the black-robed tyrants there, the Republican Party appointed people. I'm not saying it'd be any better if the Democrats got appointed the people, because both parties are controlled by exactly the same people, and both political parties always want to give you that idea that, gee, if we could just get one more Supreme Court justice on there, or we could take America back, it's a 4-5 balance. And sort of reminds me of when you go to the gateway or to the amusement park, and they have these games where you got a great big claw that's going to reach down and try to pick up that prize that you want. And we just work so hard with that big claw, and we almost get the prize over there to where it's going to come down the chute, and we're going to get it, and then they drop it. And that's what they're doing with the minds of the American people. They're playing with us. They're giving us the idea, well, if we just get the Republicans in, we'll get one more Supreme Court justice who'll do the right thing. And ladies and gentlemen, it just isn't going to happen, because they don't want it to happen. And they want to pretend to rule by the rule of law, but they're not. The Constitution is fixed, and if the American people understood the Constitution and demand that their elected representatives abide by the Constitution, we would not be in a war in Afghanistan. We would not be in a war in Iraq. We would not be going to war with Iran. We would not be moving towards the North American Union. We would not be losing our freedom. And with that as a background, Pastor David Whitney, please take over.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. It's a blessing to be on your show. And previous shows, we've been talking about the Bill of Rights. Very, very important securing of our rights that basically, as the Declaration says, the whole purpose government was instituted in the first place was to secure our God-given rights. And so our documents, our founding documents, the Declaration, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights are all designed to do just that, secure our God-given rights. And they recognize that any government that can take anything and everything, provide everything for you, can also take everything from you. And they did not want government to have that kind of tyrannical power.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to have to interrupt David, but I'm going to be quiet, and he's going to be talking most of the rest of the program. And what we need to do is get back to our Constitution.
Hi, I'm Joyce Riley, and many of you know that for years I was a cardiovascular heart transplant nurse. Since that time, I have educated myself on the importance of preventative care. It all begins with providing your heart and vascular system with the building blocks for good health. Strauss Heart Drops is the original formula that was copied by others but never duplicated. Strauss Heart Drops were developed by a master herbalist, Jim Strauss, after he suffered a heart attack in 1979. His doctor said he would only survive if he had heart bypass surgery. Then Jim said no. He developed Strauss Heart Drops, the formula that has been copied by others but never been surpassed. Get the original Strauss Heart Drops 4-ounce bottle for only $79.99. Call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. 877-817-9829. You've probably heard about the other products that have tried to copy the Strauss formula. Well, get the original Strauss Heart Drops by calling 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Now you can really do your heart right with Strauss Heart Drops.
Now you can enjoy the most delicious, freshest, and healthiest drinking water anytime, even while traveling, during outdoor sporting activities, and in hospital filtration environments such as local or national emergencies. The revolutionary Berkey Light removes pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful or unwanted chemicals to below detectable levels. It also removes foul tastes and odors like that rotten egg smell of sulfide, and it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving in the healthful and nutritional minerals your body needs. The Berkey Light is so powerful it can purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes, streams, and stagnant ponds. The Berkey Light is transparent and glows in the dark with its rechargeable LED lighting system, so it can be used as a night light or camp light.
Get the Berkey Light purifier for only $279. Call New Millennium 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
Attention, this is an extremely urgent GCN Health News Bulletin. If you're interested in suppressed natural cures, this will be the most important message you will ever hear. Listen closely. 77 GCN listeners are needed immediately to test an amazing blacklisted herbal product considered to be the single most powerful traditional remedy on earth. In fact, medical studies in other countries have been conducted on the astonishing effects this rare mineral-like compound has had on arthritis, obesity, energy, memory, and even reproductive health. Yet, because of the rules governing nutritional supplements in this country, no health or healing claims can be made at this time. However, it is still legal to own this compound, and right now a very small amount is being made available to GCN listeners in what's being called the most amazing and unusual offer ever made on radio. To claim your supply set aside for GCN listeners, simply go to www.blacklistedherb.com. Shipments will be filled on a first-come, first-served basis, so it's important that you move quickly. That's www.blacklistedherb.com or call 877-327-0365.
Hello, we stand back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest is Pastor David Whitney from the Institute of the Constitution. And David, you pick up the story.
Well, we've been talking about the Bill of Rights, and the center part of the Bill of Rights, the 4th through the 8th Amendment, all have to do with the justice system. That is, as the justice system interacts with you as a citizen, the 4th Amendment secures your rights against unreasonable searches and seizures. That is, the government has to have probable cause, and probable cause that will persuade an independent, objective observer, the judge, that there is a reason to go search or seize particular goods or places. And that secures you from them just going on fishing expeditions against you, as they have violated this amendment very clearly in the Patriot Act 1 and 2, both are completely unconstitutional, because our Constitution is the supreme law of the land. That is, the Bill of Rights, the 4th Amendment, is superior to any piece of legislation crafted by Congress, signed by the President, or even approved by the Supreme Court. Therefore, the Patriot Act is not law. If it were law, the only way it could be law is if our Constitution is completely eradicated and suspended. Now, our government wants to act as if it has been eradicated and suspended, but it has not, which means any action taken by our government under the guise of the Patriot Act is illegal, unlawful activity, criminal activity, really. They are violating their oath of office to uphold and defend the Constitution. And that not only goes for presidents and judges and congressmen, but that goes to the police officer or any other law enforcement personnel, or the soldiers who take an oath to uphold the Constitution. Everybody that takes an oath to uphold the Constitution should disobey every unlawful order, whether it's from the President or Congress or anyone else. That's the 4th Amendment. Well, our Fifth Amendment secures us when you are accused of a crime. You're innocent until proven guilty, and particularly if you are being charged with a capital crime, you're secured against being dragged into court unless the government has a very good case against you, and that's what the grand jury is supposed to determine, that they have a good enough case to proceed with a trial. You're prohibited from double jeopardy, being tried for the same offense twice by the same jurisdiction, and you're secured against having to incriminate against yourself by the Fifth Amendment, as well as that you cannot be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. The Sixth Amendment is if you are brought to trial, you're guaranteed a speedy trial, a public trial, a trial by jury, the state and district in which the crime was allegedly committed, and to be informed of the charges against you so you can prepare a defense, ability to confront and cross-examine your accusers, as well as to force other people to witness on your behalf. That's the power of the subpoena, as well as the assistance of counsel. The Seventh Amendment just deals with civil cases. So the Sixth with criminal cases, the Seventh with civil cases, that you have a right to trial by jury in any case involving common law or more than $20, and that a judge cannot substitute his opinion for the opinion of a jury. A jury, really, if you understand our system of justice, the jury is the most powerful body in that courtroom, more powerful than the judge, prosecutor, or any of the attorneys present. It is the decider of both the law, is the law legitimate, and the facts of the case. Is this person guilty under this law, given that the law truly is a legitimate law? Which means every juror, to really do their job, must know the Constitution of the United States to be able to judge whether a law is constitutional or unconstitutional. So today, if a well-informed juror was confronted in a case where someone was being charged with violating the Patriot Act in one way, shape, or form or another, that juror could say, this person is not guilty regardless of the facts in the case, because the Patriot Act itself is unlawful. It is not law. Therefore, we judge the law as inadequate, unconstitutional, and therefore the jury really is the final check against the tyrannical government, other than our Second Amendment rights, which is the ultimate defense against the tyrannical government. Then we spoke about the Eighth Amendment, that if you are not only charged with crime, held to trial, but then also not just accused, but now guilty, having been rendered guilty, then you have certain rights in the criminal punishment. No excessive fines, no cruel and unusual punishment. So amendments 4 through 8 in the Bill of Rights all have to do with your rights, the rights of the defendant in the criminal justice system. And very important to remember, our founders understood the great power that you yield to a government to allow that government to prosecute people charged with crimes. And they wanted to protect people from being harassed by the government through the court system, and prevent abuse of that court system by the government. All of those things they experienced as colonists under the tyrannical rule of King George III and the tyrannical rule of the Parliament. The abuse of the court system was something all too familiar to our founders, and so they wisely protected us against it. Unfortunately today, all of those amendments, Fourth Amendment's been gutted by the Patriot Act. The Fifth, Sixth, Seventh, and Eighth Amendments have been completely gutted by the Military Commissions Act. That all the government needs to do now is say, well, we view you as an enemy combatant, regardless of whether you're a citizen of the United States. We've decided that we're going to call you a terrorist for whatever reason. And therefore, they'll say that none of your Fifth, Sixth, Seventh, or Eighth Amendment rights that are God-given rights are any longer valid, and the government's going to just haul you before a kangaroo court and do with you in prison whatever their evil minds might choose. So again, the Military Commissions Act, it is unlawful, it is unconstitutional, and anyone obeying the Military Commissions Act is actually breaking the law, because the supreme law of the land is this Constitution, and the Fifth, Sixth, Seventh, and Eighth Amendments apply to everyone, especially those who've taken an oath to uphold the Constitution. When they violate their oath, what's our recourse as people? Is there a constitutional police force that's out there ready to arrest them? No, unfortunately, there's not. The only power designed to stop unconstitutional actions on the part of the government is we, the people, which means we, the people, must know the law, we must know the Constitution, and we must hold our elected officials accountable and force them to abide by the law and force them to hold in check those appointed officials. Often judges are appointed, so they're not elected directly by the people, and they're only held to account for their oath of office by those elected officials. Like Congress is supposed to hold the Supreme Court and the federal courts in check and impeach any judges that violate the supreme law of the land. All that is broken down, however, when the Congress doesn't know the Constitution, and when the Supreme Court can get away with violating the Constitution, all because we, the people, not knowing this document, aren't doing our job in this constitutional republic to hold all of our elected officials accountable to the standard, and the standard is the Constitution. These days, we're kind of ramping up towards the election of 2008, and so my mailbox, probably yours is too, is full of all these appeals from these politicians who want me to send my money to them and so forth. One here, John McCain, says he's very proud to have served our nation. It's been my honor to serve her and her great cause, freedom, almost all my life. What a joke that is, because John McCain was the co-author of the McCain-Feingold campaign finance reform bill, which is a complete gutting of the First Amendment rights. This man doesn't even understand the Constitution, but he wants me to send him money so that he can become president of the United States. Posh on him, and all of those who like him are violating the law of the land instead of obeying the law of the land and upholding their oath. Well, as we've shared before, the structure of our government not only provided a check against tyrannical powers on the part of we, the people, it created four levels of government, and each of these levels functioned as a check against the other level. So there's the federal government, the state government, the county government, and the local town or township government at the lowest level. And especially the state governments, and we find this by reading Federalist Paper number 45, Federalist 45, clearly states that the states would have wide-ranging powers, particularly as it came to the issues of life, liberty, and property. Your life, liberty, and property rights, the states were especially assigned those powers to protect and defend you in that area. And then the federal government, Federalist 45, says the federal government was to have a very limited and very restricted role in our government. The big government, if there was any big government, would be the state government. It would have a lot of power. Federal government would have very limited powers, and the states, this design was purposefully that the states would use their powers to keep in check the federal government. They would not let the federal government get too powerful. And that's where our Ninth Amendment and Tenth Amendment come in. Ninth Amendment relating to individuals primarily, the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. That is, if our Constitution or our Bill of Rights has said nothing about particular God-given rights that every person has, that does not mean you forfeit those rights simply because they were not written down or hadn't been detailed in the founding documents. Alexander Hamilton objected when the idea of a Bill of Rights was proposed in the first place. He objected that a Bill of Rights could be dangerous because you could not possibly list all of your rights. So if I asked you this afternoon to sit down and write a list of your rights, well, you would probably forget or overlook some. And if I said, okay, that list, you give that list to me in the evening, and that is your list, you're done now, you cannot add any more rights to it. You'd say, oh, that's a very dangerous agreement because I probably will have forgotten something or overlooked something. And so the idea Hamilton was sharing that in the future the government might assume that all rights not listed in a Bill of Rights were forfeited to the government. And Hamilton and other founders said that's a very dangerous thing, and that's why the Ninth Amendment was crafted to prevent the loss of any of our God-given rights.
God, of course, the Tenth Amendment actually certainly spells it out very, very clearly, and Pastor David Whitney, we'll cover that as soon as we get back here after the break, here at Genesis.
Wow.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Tieri. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Of certain rights shall be not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. See, the Ninth Amendment does not give courts the authority to create any new rights. Rather, the Ninth Amendment protects only those rights which were already recognized, that is, the truly God-given rights, and those rights protected under then-existing English and American common law. And so if you study English and American common law, you know how in the history of not only England but also in America, the rights were understood as these are the God-given rights the government was instituted to protect. And therefore, when our Supreme Court has invented new rights, such as, the right of a woman to murder her unborn child by a contract killer, what people commonly call abortion, but that's truly what it is, it's murder by a contract killer, they invented a new right that was not an existing right. It wasn't. It's never a God-given right, just like the new invention in Lawrence v. Texas, the case that said, well, sodomy is a right. It is not a right. You cannot have a right that is wrong. That is, you cannot have a right that violates God's law. God's law determines what are right, what rights you have as a human being, and you look very clearly in God's law, sodomy is not a right, just as murder is not a right. I don't have a right to murder anyone or to steal from anyone, therefore I do not have a right to commit sodomy. So when the Supreme Court invents new laws, and sometimes they obliquely kind of reference the Ninth Amendment as giving them power to do so, they're completely misinterpreting the Ninth Amendment, and those Supreme Court justices should be impeached for such a violation, such a flagrant violation of their oath that they took to really abide by the terms of the Constitution and not render any opinions or any decisions that violate the terms of the Constitution. So it's key to remember, you only have the rights that are retained by the people, that is the rights that God has given to all human beings. Where do we find those rights? Well, we find them detailed in the English and American common law, but English and American common law, as all the historians who accurately understand the issue say, English common law is based upon biblical law. Looking to the Word of God, says, thou shalt not steal, therefore stealing is a wrong, and property ownership is a right. So every negative command in Scripture is associated with a positive right that God has given to every human being. Thou shalt not murder, the negative command, is associated with a positive right that you have a right to life. Right to life, liberty, and property, and so on. So that's the Ninth Amendment. Very important to remember that, it prevents government from expanding its powers through a judicial process that would violate that principle. Then the Tenth Amendment perhaps is the most important amendment of all. It says the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it, that is by the Constitution to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. Now, earlier on when we studied Article 6 and so on in the body of the Constitution, there are certain things that the states are prohibited from doing. A state cannot, for example, create an ex post facto law, that is a law that is retroactive. So they pass a law that says, yesterday it was legal for you to do this certain action, today it's illegal, and we're going to punish you for your action yesterday when it wasn't the law. That's impossible, so states are restricted from doing that. But this Tenth Amendment says the only power that we the people agree that the United States, the federal government, will have is what we have stated explicitly, very clearly in our Constitution. If we haven't allowed our federal government to have certain powers, it does not have those powers. And this really is the cornerstone of our freedom, because it puts a vice grip on the federal government and says, thus far you can come and no further. You're limited in what you can do. And it also clearly sets in concrete the framers' view of the covenantal nature of government. That is, government only has such powers as we the people delegate to that government through the Constitution. We need to remember that government never has a right. Government has no rights. Only human beings are given rights by God. God gives us rights. We the people together by a covenant give the government certain powers. And that's what our Constitution is. It's that covenant by which we the people delegate certain enumerated and limited powers to our federal government.
Amen to that. And that is really the essence of what the Bill of Rights is. It is a restrictive covenant that limits the power of the federal government and sets men free. We'll be back in just a moment here at Genesis.
Order a copy of this show for your friends and family at GCNLive.com or call 877-300-7645.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonance. If the resonant frequency force making the glass vibrate is big enough, the size of the vibration will become so large that the glass shatters. Using a similar principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Simple step-by-step instructions using pictures are easy to follow. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms. Eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free. 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. 1-866-885-6625.
Through the years of providing water filters to America, you've come to us and we've listened. You asked us to make the water level visible to eliminate the guesswork when refilling the water. We listened. You asked for an elevated base so the system could be used in places beside on the edge of a counter. We listened. You asked us to develop a filter that was made in the USA. We listened. You asked us to include an emergency light for camping and during power outages. We listened. After 9/11, you asked us to develop a filter that was more powerful in removing chemical agents. Again, we listened. Introducing the Berkey Light, the gravity filter requested by America, designed by Americans, and made in America.
Get the Berkey Light, the American water purifier, only $279. Call New Millennium, 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Well, I stand back here, our guest, Pastor David Whitney. David, before we go on, why don't you get your website, your telephone number out there for us?
Oh, yes. Thank you, Dr. Stan. Our website is iotconline.com. IOTC is, of course, standing for Institute on the Constitution. iotconline.com. And our web store has a number of resources available that can help the patriot become educated themselves, as well as to educate the circle of people around them. Particularly what we encourage people to get a hold of is what we call our host kit. It contains 12 lectures by Dr. John Eidsmo, detailing much of what we're walking through here on the radio programs, the history and background and the Christian worldview that shaped our founders' view of law and government. And as they structured our government, they were seeking to do so in accordance with God's laws, the laws of the universe. They understood if you're going to build a machine, it better comport with a law of gravity, and it better work mathematically, and all those physical laws of the universe. Well, the government is not a physical entity. It's far more a moral and a spiritual entity, and therefore it must comport with the moral laws of the universe, which we find in God's Word. So our founders constructed a form of government based upon a biblical worldview of law and government. Dr. Eidsmo does an excellent job expounding that, and then giving a working knowledge of the Declaration, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the subsequent amendments, and answering the question, what has happened to America? If this is what our founders gave us, and this is what our founders designed, how in the world did we get to where we are at today, where judicial tyranny reigns without check, and instead of securing our rights, government is stripping us and violating our God-given rights on a daily basis. How did we get there? And in those 12 lectures, a person gains what they need essentially to function as a Christian citizen in our land. That is an ability to understand what is lawful, that is what is constitutional, what is unconstitutional, therefore an ability to evaluate candidates and their claims. Like I just mentioned John McCain here, I know that's a terrible candidate. I know he's violated the oath that he took to uphold the Constitution with his complete gutting of the First Amendment in the McCain-Feingold campaign finance bill. And so if you can evaluate candidates, then you know who to vote for, or better yet, who to vote against. In those kind of contexts, you also know how to communicate with your elected officials to hold them accountable, to tell them you know the Constitution and you know what they're doing is unconstitutional, and you demand that they stop it, or you'll see that they're removed from office. And as we now in 50 states, we have this being taught in classes that are held in churches, classes in community centers, in people's homes. It's very easy. It's a turnkey system. Doesn't take any background or experience to put on an institute on the Constitution in your community. And if you don't have web access, you can call us toll-free to order a host kit, and our toll-free number is 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796.
And, you know, I think that it's so exciting to know that in all 50 states, this is being taught, and everybody who learns then can begin to teach others. And so what we need are really thousands of people out across America putting these courses on. And the sooner the American people understand the foundation of our freedom, that we have lawbreakers working not only within our legislature, but within our executive branch of government and within our courts. Most judges do not understand our Constitution. Most attorneys do not understand our Constitution. In fact, Judge Roy Moore had said that he never read the Constitution until, you know, a few years before he got involved with the Ten Commandments issue. And he says, you know, and I've been in trouble ever since then. And that's really true. When you stand up for what's right, for what's true, how do you conceal the truth? Well, we have freedom of the press in America. If you control the press, you have freedom to suppress information, and I wouldn't have it any other way. But we do have the ability to get the information out in programs like this and through the Institute of the Constitution. And if you are not availing yourself of their information and helping get people taught about our Constitution, then you're going to lose your freedom, and your family will lose their freedom. And unborn generations will ask, you know, why didn't our parents and our grandparents do something to save America? Go ahead, David.
Well, the Tenth Amendment really is largely ignored today on the federal level. The federal government runs roughshod over the Constitution daily. 90%+ of what is done in Washington, D.C. is unconstitutional, is a violation of what the Tenth Amendment says, that, hey, if we have not given these delegated powers to the federal government, they do not have the powers to do that. You look at especially Article 1, Section 8, that lists the spending powers of Congress. It can only spend money for those 18 things listed there in Article 1, Section 8. There's no power that we, the people, have granted the federal government to have anything to do with education on the elementary or the secondary or the college level. We have never given them permission to do it. So every dollar spent in the Department of Education is an unconstitutional violation of the rights of we, the people. And unless we, the people, get up in arms about it, it's going to continue. And, of course, that's just one department. You list a long, long list of departments and agencies of the federal government that harass we, the people, that steal money from we, the people. I say steal because they don't have any valid powers to take money to spend it on education. So every dollar spent on education is a stolen dollar from we, the people, and should be returned to we, the people, as the Department of Education on the federal level completely abolished. That's just one example of many, many egregious violations of our Constitution. So the Tenth Amendment's ignored because we, the people, haven't held our federal government to the terms of this contract. Well, that's the Bill of Rights. The first 10 amendments is the Bill of Rights. It's very specifically designed to restrict the government. You can see it this way. The body of the Constitution, the seven articles, defines the field of play in which our federal government is granted the powers by we the people to do certain things. around that field of play is a very high and very thick wall, and that very high and very thick wall is the Ten Amendments, the Bill of Rights. Unfortunately, following the ratification of the Bill of Rights, what began with almost all, with few minor exceptions, but almost all of the subsequent 17 amendments to our Constitution, they punch holes in that wall that our founders erected around the field of play. So this is all the federal government can do. It cannot go outside this ball field. It can't go beyond that boundary because there's a big, high wall. It's thick. They can't get outside of it, and the Bill of Rights is designed to do that. But sad to say, most of the subsequent amendments are the opposite of that. And that begins with the 11th Amendment. In 1798, there was a lawsuit, Chisholm v. Georgia, actually in 1793. And this lawsuit basically was a citizen of another state had entered into a contract with the state of Georgia and felt that Georgia had violated the terms of that contract. And being as he was not a citizen of that state, he kind of didn't have any standing in the judicial system of the state of Georgia. And so he took it up to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court entered into the dispute and basically made a decision that ultimately Georgia opposed. Georgia said, hey, the Supreme Court can make any decision it wants to, but if they send one federal agent down here to enforce their decision against the state of Georgia, the moment that individual steps over the boundary of the state of Georgia, we will hang him. That's what the state of Georgia said. We don't have to abide by what the federal government here is determined. And we don't have to abide by the Supreme Court. No way. So, in fact, because of that, this 11th Amendment was drawn up that said states may not be sued in federal court by citizens of another jurisdiction without the state's consent. You know, they're not likely to have a state consent to be sued. So the effect is that if you, as an individual citizen or even as a company and so forth, if you form a contract with a state of which you are not resident or you're not a citizen of an individual state, that contract is basically worthless paper because the state that you're making the contract with has no obligation to you and no enforceable court power that would force them to abide by the terms of your contract with them. And so, in a sense, you can see the 11th Amendment really expanding the powers of the local states to say that they didn't have to abide by their contracts or their agreements. They were free to violate them at will. The 12th Amendment followed in 1804. And this is an amendment dealing with the Electoral College. It arose out of a very interesting election. If you read the history of elections, this one was a doozy in the year 1800. You see, the President and the Vice President of the United States were both on the ticket for the next election. Thomas Jefferson was serving as Vice President for John Adams, and they were going head-to-head against each other. Well, there were a couple other people. Aaron Burr was on the ballot as well. So there was a multi-party race here, not just two parties going after it. And ultimately, it came down to the not enough electoral votes were cast and had to go into Congress to be decided and so on. So it's a very interesting story. But what they recognized is here you have, by the system established by our founders, the vice president being the one who came in second. The president would be the one who takes the most electoral votes, vice president being the second. And so you have two opponents in the campaign being forced to serve together in the executive branch once they're elected. And that creates some unique problems. After all, Thomas Jefferson had been the vice president for John Adams, and then, Thomas Jefferson was declared to be the president. So it was decided then that it would be better that the electors vote separately for president and vice president rather than, just casting their vote for one or the other, and therefore the majority person winning and the one coming in second being vice president. Now, today, our Electoral College is under sustained attack. If you listened in the last election, all the criticisms and the talking heads going against it, and we've talked before a bit about why our founders structured it. They did not believe in democracy. It was a representative form of government. They were establishing a republic, and the electors basically were there as a check against someone becoming president who the states, and the electors basically are beholden to the state governments, that the state governments recognize would be a dangerous or a bad choice. It might be a populist choice, but it might not be a good choice in light of the states. And so, in a sense, the electors there are protecting the interests and the powers of the states in that case. I was listening to testimony down in our state capital, Annapolis, on a particular bill designed to destroy the Electoral College state by state. If they gain enough of the significant large states to accomplish this, they will abolish the Electoral College without amending the Constitution. And this is horrible. These people are violating their oath of office. Matter of fact, I was pleased that one of the senators in our state brought it up and said, why don't you just amend the Constitution if you don't like the Electoral College? That's what the Constitution calls for. And this individual proposing the destruction of the Electoral College said, oh, that'd be too difficult. I.e., we recognize we don't have the kind of votes and we don't have the kind of agreement nationwide to amend our Constitution. So he basically said, let's do an end run around the Constitution. And last I heard, it's moving through and followed the signed by the governor of Maryland, which would be the first state that has agreed that when it casts a vote for president, you're really not voting for an elector, which is our current system, but instead what's going to be decided in Maryland if this passes is that when the popular vote of the nation is cast, Maryland will cast all of its electors behind whatever the popular vote is. And if they gain enough states to agree to do this, they basically have destroyed the Electoral College without having amended the Constitution, which is illegal. Really, these people ought to be impeached for violating their oath of office, because this state senator here in Maryland had to take an oath to uphold the U.S. Constitution and not just the Maryland state constitution. I was outraged that this kind of wicked chicanery is going on, and it's succeeding because those senators and delegates here in Maryland are ignorant of the U.S. Constitution and have no intention of learning it or applying it. And therefore, we've got a task here in Maryland to get rid of the bums and replace them with some who will truly uphold the U.S. Constitution. So that's what the 12th Amendment did, separating that former structure so that now on your presidential ticket you'll be voting for a president and vice president together rather than just voting for one or the other. The 13th Amendment, now this was 1865, 13th Amendment at the close of the war between the states, as many would feel it's fairly called, or perhaps others have a good argument for saying it was a war to prevent Southern independence, which indeed is what it did. But in the 13th Amendment, slavery was abolished, and the early court rulings said that the 13th Amendment simply abolished the institution of slavery, and it did not abolish other forms of segregation or discrimination. Court case, civil rights cases of 1883, the Supreme Court determined that. So it just abolished the institution, not any other forms of segregation or discrimination. Interestingly enough, in that particular decision, that opinion, 1883, Justice Harlan dissented from that opinion, and he argued that the 13th Amendment did more than abolish slavery as an institution. He said it also abolished, quote, the badges and incidences of slavery that are reminiscent of the slavery era, end quote. For example, segregation, denial of civil rights, and so on. And so he was the first one that really put forth this interpretation of the 13th Amendment. And Justice Harlan's dissenting view eventually became the majority view in the case in 1968, Jones v. Mayer. And oddly enough here, Justice Harlan's grandson was on the court at that point, and he dissented from his grandfather's point of view. He said, no, the 13th Amendment only abolished slavery, didn't say anything about segregation, discrimination, and so on.
Well, I think, you know, the important thing is, David, what did the people who voted for the 13th Amendment mean?
Mm-hmm.
And not how I think things ought to be, or not that there is an injustice in, you know, in allowing discrimination, but what did the mean people who voted for it mean, and then if we don't like that, why we should amend the Constitution, not simply do it by judicial activism.
Because if you do it by judicial activism, it means the words of the Constitution have no meaning whatsoever.
And right, and you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
That's the whole of the law.
And the result is that we really don't have a Constitution, or as some Supreme Court justices have liked to say, they are the living Constitution. That is, whatever they say is law. And that, as our founders said, was an extremely dangerous position for any of us to be in, the hands of a few black-robed lawyers who determine what our God-given rights are, or if we have any rights whatsoever. A very dangerous position. And so, again, the 13th Amendment gives us an illustration of how some of these amendments began to be transformed into something other than what they were originally saying by later court decisions, particularly in the 20th century. One of the most dangerous precedents set by the 13th Amendment is this phrase: Congress shall have power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. That exact phrase also appears in the 14th, the 15th, the 18th, the 19th, 23rd, 24th, and 26th Amendment, and is very dangerous because it's been used to greatly expand federal power at the expense of state and individuals' rights.
One more time, David, before you go, let's get your telephone number out for our listeners.
Our toll-free number is 866-730-9796.
God bless. Talk to you shortly. Bye-bye.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteef spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the...
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See headachestaygone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
The dollar has lost over 50% of its value in the last 3 years, and it is still falling, while gold has gone up over 60% in the last 3 years. As the dollar continues to fall, you have a well-thought-out plan to preserve the wealth you worked hard all your life to accumulate? Historically, gold and silver have been real financial security for those who understand the abuses and dangers of paper currencies. Have you considered buying gold and silver, but you don't know how to go about doing it? The gold coin industry has a real problem. It abounds with scam artists. I have written a 26-page paper entitled Gold and How to Avoid the Scams in the Coin Industry. So if you'd like to educate yourself before you buy, give me a call, Cal Grunwald, at my new number, 414-234-8267, and I will send you my paper on the scams in the coin industry at no charge. That's 414-234-8267.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Do that by just calling us at 1-800-544-8927, and you can join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, or you can subscribe to the newsletter, or you can get a copy of our catalog. And we actually have three catalogs. One is for emergency food, because we think everybody should begin making preparations We don't know what the future holds, but you need things to store water in, and pumps to get the water out of the barrels, and you need food and emergency food, and we have contracts to help you get all of those things, whether it be the food grinders or if you want small numbers of Mylar bags or oxygen packets for storing your food. Why, we'll make these available to you in smaller numbers than you can get them elsewhere. Anyway, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. You can get the health catalog, and we have all of our health products listed there, and the vitamins and minerals, and the things that Barbara and I take, and then the various books we have on this subject. And Iodorol, and we have our four tape sets on iodine, and we have information on magnesium, and information that you need to preserve your health, and a number of excellent books and tape sets that give you the information that you need to know about the scams, like the statin scam, greatest scam in the world. And they've got millions of people on statin drugs, totally without justification here. And we're putting together a great new four tape set on the human papillomavirus vaccine. And we're going to have next week, I think it is a week after that, one of the people who actually developed the vaccine is telling you this never should be released and try to force on girls all across the country because the information is not in. Well, you'll certainly want to be listening to our programs. So if you'd like either the long-term food storage catalog or you'd like the health catalog or a regular catalog, give us a call, 1-800-544-8927. And if you have not yet started laying in your food supplies, why, give us a call and get them ordered now. Because believe me, these are becoming increasingly in short supply. In fact, some of the people who have ordered are having difficulty getting their orders filled. Simply because there are shortages beginning to develop. And then, of course, we want you to see my latest talk, Forbidden Secret. That's Forbidden Secret, and it will tell you about this secret that's been passed down for 5,000 years from generation to generation, and how it applies today, and how it explains what's really going on in the Near East and Middle East today. And then, of course, we do hope that you'll want to get the syllabus that goes with that. And right now it's called Immigration Invasion, but we're going to rename that and called the Forbidden Secret Syllabus. And then, of course, we do hope that you'll get my talk on Brotherhood of Darkness in the book. And you need this information. You need the two great new DVDs that Chris Pinto has put out. Riddles in Stone, The Secret Architecture of America's Capital, and of course the destiny of America. That's what it's all about, because there were people when America was founded who were part of the secret societies of the Rosicrucians, people who were deeply involved in astrology, that laid out the architect of our nation's capital. There is another dimension. There are people in touch with that other dimension, and they're directing the course of events today. And then of course the Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning DVD, Megiddo 1, Megiddo 2. The DVDs on They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, and that's, ladies and gentlemen, they're people who've really sold their souls to the devil, and some of them are working at the highest levels of our government. 1-800-544-8927. We'll be back in just a moment at Radio Liberty.
The war on terrorism, will it be fought overseas or will it affect us here at home? If you are like most folks, you want to be prepared but can't afford an underground shelter. So what do you do? Did you know that you can use your home as a shelter against fallout and biological or chemical attacks? With a
broadcasting to the U.S. and around the world by way of Clear Digital Audio, 22,500 miles above the planet, this is the Global Star Radio Network.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed, not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and of course the views of our guest. And for this hour, we're going to have Dr. Yaz Back, who's a retired pediatrician. And we're going to be talking about one of the greatest cover-ups of all time, and that is the relationship between thimerosal and autism. And of course, there has been an organized, orchestrated effort on the part of certain people to conceal this from the American people. After all, would you ever trust your doctor again if you really believed that he had been covering up the fact that the vaccines were harmful? Well, let me tell you, your doctor doesn't know. Your doctor is doing, I think, in almost every instance, the best he possibly can, but you have to understand he's not getting the truth because he's being betrayed, and his trust in medical authorities and scientific articles and in the Centers for Disease Control and certain government agencies has been misplaced. And our job is to get the facts in so that you can get them and you can help educate your doctor. If we could ever get the doctors to realize that they have been misled, they could be among our greatest advocates. Well, let me let Dr. Yazbek tell you about some of the studies that have been put out that have been used to say that there's no relationship between either mercury or, say, the MMR vaccine and the incidence of autism. Dr. Yazbek, thank you so very much for being with us.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here, Stan. Good to be with you again.
Well, why don't you just go ahead, because you've had the time to do an analysis of some of these fraudulent studies that have been used to confuse the issue and conceal the relationship between certain of the vaccinations and this terrible disease we call autism.
Sure, I'll be glad to. I'll try at least. As you know, and probably all your audience knows, that one of the worst things that has happened to autism research in the United States was a so-called Vaccine Safety Review Committee meeting that was held on February the 9th, 2004. At that meeting, they reviewed first some evidence about the MMR vaccine and autism, and that was a very short part of the day. And then the most of the day was reserved for the mercury situation, the thimerosal in vaccines that we have been adding to pediatric vaccines since the late 30s. Now, what no one knows is those studies that were seen and were taken as the gospel truth were all very new studies. In other words, all of the studies that were mercury studies were not, there wasn't one that was older than 6 months. These studies had been rushed so that they can meet and be ready for that meeting that was happening in February of 2004. Now, if you recall, Congressman Dave Weldon had begged the CDC to delay this meeting so that we can come up with some clinical studies, much more reliable, much more much stronger in their value, but they decided not to proceed. And as I said, they had all of these studies ready, from August to November, actually, of 2003. They were all published as a bunch and then considered at the meeting. One study, actually, a British study, the data was presented by Dr. Miller of the Department of Health in the United Kingdom, but that data had never been peer-reviewed. The study had never been published. It was just raw data presented at the meeting of this importance, which was totally unheard of in the past. Well, let's go quickly and
you're going to have to hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Was Dr. Yazbek, I mean, when would you ever present a paper that has not been peer-reviewed? We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. And this afternoon we have as our special guest Dr. Yaz Beck, who's a retired pediatrician, who has been working behind the scenes since his retirement to try to get the truth out about the relationship between mercury and autism. And unfortunately, there are people working at the highest levels of our government who want to conceal the truth. And, of course, we've done a number of other programs on this, but Dr. Yaz Beck is going to be talking about this meeting that was held in Washington, D.C., put together with a number of new studies that nobody had had a chance to review or analyze carefully. And some of these studies had never been peer-reviewed. At least one of them had not been peer-reviewed. You would never present a paper at a public meeting that had not been peer-reviewed, because then, of course, much of the impact of that paper is lost, and even there's a question whether it should be published scientifically. If you're putting the information out before it's been evaluated by your fellows. But there was this one paper, came out of Great Britain, that had not been peer-reviewed, that was specifically presented to try to convince the people at this large national meeting that there is nothing to worry about, there's no relationship between autism and mercury, and that's the lie they're telling parents all across America and telling doctors. Dr. Yaz Beck, you pick up the story.
Well, the first study that the first trimerosal study that was presented was the lead author was Vid, H-V-I-I-D, and this researcher was actually a co-writer and a co-author of the famous study on MMR that we reviewed that you know so well. So I just looked at those figures. Now, in this study that he presented, the mercury study, he looked at apparently at 467,450 kids, and you always, when you have those big numbers, you have to wonder what they have in mind. And then they looked at 2,986,654 person years, and they found out that they had 440 cases of autism and 787 cases of autistic spectrum disorder, the non-complete, you know, the incomplete syndrome, between those, you know, in those years.
All right, hold that thought.
Between 1990 and 1996.
Hold that thought, and we'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Dr. Yaz Beck is describing this paper that was presented. And it's because they have all of these figures of well over 400,000 children. They figure patient years and a couple of million patient years, and then the number of cases of autism and autism spectrum diseases. So pick the story up there, doctor.
Well, the essentially is that when you compare those figures to the figures that he himself published the year before in the New England Journal of Medicine with Madsen. When you compare the two studies, very quickly, you see how unreliable the whole thing is. In the Madsen MMR study, which lasted 8 years, there were 316 cases of autism. And this is from the same registry, by the way, a year later. There were 316 cases of autism compared to 440 cases in 7 years of VID. So for Madsen, 8 years, 316 cases, for Weed, 7 years, 440 cases. This is from the same registry,
There's got to be something a little fishy.
Doesn't make sense. Now, you go to the ASD now, the Autistic Spectral Disorder. Again, for Madsen, in 8 years, he had 422 cases. And for Weed, in 7 years, he had 787 cases, almost double. It's just, once you look at those figures alone, I mean, for me, looking at that table alone, knowing that the fellow who wrote the mercury paper was actually the co-author of the first paper, it is tough to understand how they can come out and publish this and how we can go and believe anything that they say after that, as far as I'm concerned. So that is one of the weaknesses that we had. But the other weakness is that, you know, we went and paid good money to these people in Denmark. The MMR study, as you know, was financed by the CDC. It was funded by the CDC, but it was not funded by the Developmental Disability Division or Center at the CDC. It was funded by the National Immunization Program of the CDC.
Yeah, that has a vested interest in trying to keep people from...
Well, and it was co-authored by an epidemiologist from the CDC. That's the MMR study. And so this obviously raises a red flag in itself, because, they are obviously going to produce something that they want to hear, that the funding people want to hear. Now, another study that came is that Madsen himself, who wrote the MMR study, the lead author, wrote also a mercury study for the purpose of this meeting. Apparently, they had been working on it for a couple of years. Now, that study was not authored by anyone from... They had no co-author from the CDC. It was not funded by the CDC. But yet, somehow, you could see the hand of the CDC in several things happening. And this is what I described in my paper on the Vaccine Autoimmunity Project website. In that paper, I showed that one of the Danish authors, wrote an email to the CDC epidemiologist and to Dr. Madsen and Dr. Thorson, saying that the incidence and prevalence are still decreasing. In other words, are still decreasing in 2001, meaning that they were already decreasing in 2000. At least that's how I read it. And yet, when the CDC, when the director of the, Dr. Cordero, director of the Developmental Disability Section, wrote to the editor of Pediatrics, he wrote to him saying that the authors did not observe a decline in the rate of autism.
Now, could you explain what the significance of the...
It's exactly the opposite of what happened. There was a decline at the end, and he mentioned it, but obviously it's because they had cut off the study at the year 2000, just before the decline was starting to appear.
Now, I suppose the decline came because they'd taken the thimerosal out of the vaccine. Was that it?
Well, exactly. Well, in their theory, and when they wrote the paper, they said that the fact that there had not been a decline, that there had been actually an increase all the time, means that removing the thimerosal did not play any role, and therefore the thimerosal did not cause anything. It did not cause autism, because when you removed it, the numbers did not decline. But in fact, there was a decline at the end, but that was excluded by shortening the study. But when you came to print it, when he put it in print in Pediatrics, the sentence came out of the discontinuation of thimerosal-containing vaccines in Denmark in 1992 was followed by an increase in the incidence of autism. That is obviously not true, because in time that did go down. Now, another study that we have on the... And I think that maybe your listeners should go to the Vaccine Autoimmunity Project website, which is vaproject.org, and look at those studies. The second study is by Kretka.
Dr. Yazbek, let's spell that. What's the site where the information is available?
It's vaproject.org.
vaproject.org, okay.
VaccineAutoimmunityProject.org, vaproject.org.
All right, fine. And these articles are there, so people can see it themselves. But what happened in Denmark is they had the vaccine with the thimerosal in it. Then they took the thimerosal out, and then of course they simply lied. Figures don't lie, but liars can figure. And they said, "Look, see, we took the thimerosal out, and the incidence didn't go down." But that's because they cut the cutoff date short. Had they gone another couple of years, they would have seen it going down. But they cannot let the American people know the truth.
Well, actually, Stan, it's even actually more than that. Is that when, and this is why I'm referring everyone to go and read the study by Trelka, by Jeff Trelka, T-R-E-L-K-A, on our website. And in it, Jeff has... wonderful, wonderful presentation. Absolutely, I mean, it is something that everyone should download and keep this analysis of very well done, in which he says the three problems that are the three demonstrated problems in the study itself. There was a change in participation. You know, the kids kept on coming in and out of that study. There was an expansion of the cohort by introducing some people from an outpatient clinic. And there was change in diagnostic grouping. So all of these things skewed the symptoms. So when Jeff really fixed all this by readjusting all this data, he found that actually even taking what Madsen had written, there was a clear decrease in the incidence or whatever, the prevalence of autistic syndromes and autism in Denmark when thimerosal was removed. And he tried, the poor guy wrote a letter to the editor of Pediatrics asking them to please, offer this to the readers, offer it to Dr. Madsen for his reply, for his comment, and the letter was refused. It was never published. Which happens all the time in medical journals here. It's very tough. It's very tough for us to criticize something that has been printed and published. And in general, they tell you whether there's not enough space, we receive too many letters. In this situation, the response of Dr. Lucy, although the editor, actually to Jeff was kind of unique in that he said that a major review. So he's sending him all this information, and the answer was that a major review carried out by the U.S. Institute of Medicine, published last month, found no evidence that thimerosal was linked to autism. And then he goes on to talk about the other studies, and therefore the editor said that I consider this issue closed. But the issue is not closed at all. The issue should not have never been closed. The issue should have been left to Dr. Madsen on the pages of the journal to defend his case like we all do. I mean, I publish, and when somebody writes to criticize me, I have to answer them. And I tell them, well, yes, I agree with this, I disagree with this, but this way, if you don't allow anyone to write up an opposing view, then you cannot give the author the chance to respond and maybe convince the guy who wrote this contradicting view of his point of view. This was never done.
And I think what's really so significant, ladies and gentlemen, is if you consider it used to be there were a couple of cases of autism every 10,000 children. Today, it was 165, just about a year or two ago. And now the latest figures from the CDC, one in 150 children has autism. And one in six children has some sort of a behavioral disorder. And if you talk to our friend Dr. Mark Geyer, they feel that probably every child has some degree of brain injury because of the mercury intoxication. At least those who've gotten the mercury-laden vaccines, you do not see this in Amish children because they do not allow the vaccines. But the Centers for Disease Control cannot allow the American people or the physicians of America to know the truth. And here you see the Journal Pediatrics, the editor of the Journal Pediatrics, not allowing any open discussion. The papers are published, and we will not allow anybody to point out that they're fraudulent. So pick them straight there, Dr. Yazbek.
Well, the next study is obviously, there was an American study, and I didn't even discuss this one. I have not had the time to review that one because I was more interested in the ones from abroad that I had so much information about. The next study was actually by American authors who compared cases and the use of thimerosal in California, in Denmark, and in Sweden, of all places. I mean, totally non-comparable population as far as population, as far as incidence of the disease, and as far as thimerosal use, frequency of the shots, amount of vaccines, amount of thimerosal per vaccine, total mercury load, and at what age. So that particular study was financed by the CDC again.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, Dr. Yazbek, go right ahead.
Yeah. Well, so that study was published.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
MR, measles, mumps and rubella, immunization and autism. And certainly we had a significant increase of autism with the thimerosal and the vaccines. And then they came along with the MMR vaccine, and the incidence of autism really skyrocketed. And I was asking Dr. Yazbek why that was, because the MMR, to my knowledge, does not contain mercury. So
that's right.
So why did that?
Well, the MMR contains three live virus vaccines. They are attenuated, but they are live, and therefore they cannot contain anything that would, like thimerosal, which would kill them. What happened, and that we believe that's what happened, I think that everybody seems to be agreeing on our side of this, what's happening, is that some children have a genetic predisposition. Now, this is not going to be a genetic disease. You do not get such numbers from a genetic disorder. No question that some children have a genetic predisposition. And for some reason, they have inability to detoxify heavy metals. Now, these kids were exposed from day one. You remember that we gave the hepatitis B vaccine that contains mercury on the first or second day of life in the nursery. So they're admitted, these kids are exposed, and this is since 1991. These kids are exposed to mercury in the first year of life in increasing numbers because we have shots after shots, we have more vaccines invented. And whatever vaccine that contained mercury until 1999, most of them did, were given in the first 6 months of life. And not only were they actually spread evenly over the first 6 months of life, but were actually given as boluses mostly at 2 months, 4 months, and 6 months. In other words, in a few minutes, one afternoon, a few minutes, the child received all his increments all this amount of mercury in several shots, given at about the same time in his right or left thigh. And he went home. And then he came back 2 months later, and he got the same, again, a large amount in a very short period. So the danger, you cannot say, well, we have to divide all the number of micrograms over 6 months, because you're not giving him a small drip of mercury. You're giving him a rather good wallop every 2 months in a very short time. Now, this child who has some trouble detoxifying this becomes wide open when he gets the three viruses together just after the age of 1 year or at the age of 15 months. To succumb to what happened with my grandson, which is just a few weeks after his MMR, he just changed. And then, obviously, we did not know what was happening, and then he got better. And then we gave him the four-year booster of MMR, and now we really devastated him. We really changed him drastically and permanently. And this, by the way, has been also published by Andy Wakefield, and this is the so-called challenge, de-challenge, re-challenge, which means that, and this is accepted in courts of law, it's accepted by actually by the Institute of Medicine, that if you give a drug and it causes a reaction, and then after the child does not get it, he gets over it, he gets slightly better, you give it to him again, you're almost proving that the drug caused the reaction. And it's called challenge, de-challenge, re-challenge. And this is what you know, said. What is the relationship? But that's exactly what the relationship is. Is that the child has a predisposition. The child is exposed to the mercury. The child is unable to detoxify the mercury, and is sitting like a sitting duck. That particular child with a certain autoimmune sensitivity, with a certain predisposition, is sitting for that triple vaccine come with three viruses to hit him. And now, as you know, we're now giving four viruses together. We are giving the chickenpox vaccine at the same time, which is alarming me a lot, personally, because if you keep on, even if you remove the mercury, if you keep on insulting the baby with all these viruses, eventually we're going to pay the price. And maybe they should have been separated, but instead of separating the MMR into the singles like we used to do before in the old days, we have added the chickenpox. Interestingly, we have a new study. It's been, lately has just come down from Canada that has dealt with both the MMR. This is the first study, in fact, where the author tried to rule out both an MMR and a mercury, etiology to. Or relationship to regressive autism, and this study is a study that looked at children in one school board, which is what we would call a school district here in Montreal, and that school board is a British school board, and they looked at 27,749 children.
You're going to have to hold that thought, please.
Sure.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and Dr. Diaz back, of course, is talking about a study that just came down from Canada, a very, very large school district in Montreal, where the doctor was trying to prove there was no relationship between autism or regressive autism, where the a regressive autism is where the child gets the shot, and then, of course, the patient, the child, begins to regress. They were developing normal, and then they begin to regress, withdraw, can't talk, really begin to lose the development marks that they've had, and then, of course, sometimes they'll improve, and then you give them another shot, and then that devastates them again, and they may never recover. So what happened with this study from Canada, Doctor?
Well, this study actually upset two wonderful parents. And so they wrote to us, and they contacted us. And one of them is actually a co-author of this paper that we're writing. David Ayoub, whom we have had as a guest and whom we all love and whom we're so grateful to have on our side, and Mrs. Rossetti looked at the mostly at the mercury part of it. And then I had to look also at the MMR statistics that she provided me together with another father, and they went and got stuff from the Freedom of Information Act. They got to every school district. It was amazing the amount of work that these two parents did for us to help us in the study. And as I said, one of them is will be co-authoring the study with us. So anyway, Dr. Fumbone, who is the chief of psychiatry at McGill, a well-known psychiatrist, looked at 27,749 children in one school district. Now, this particular school district contains only 14% of the total enrollment of Montreal. So, although these are large numbers, it's a specific number, and that particular district is only 14% of all enrollment. Now, he found 180 children with a pervasive developmental disorder in that school. And it's on those, and it's following those kids from, they were born between 1987 and 1998. There were 131 who were affected before 1996, and 49 born after 1996 were diagnosed and affected. The study was done, he did his study in 2003-2004 school year. And this is the particular population he looked at.
Oh, you're going to have to hold that. We'll be right sure. back in just a moment as we bring our statements on. Well, Dr. Riaz Black is giving us the background of this Canadian study that actually comes out of Montreal. And a fair number of students in Montreal, but only about 14% of the childhood population there. So what are the salient points of this study?
Well, Dr. Fumbone and his associates came out first looking at the MMR issue, which is the one that I also detailed on our website under the Tale of Two Cities, is the name of the piece on the VAP Project website. He simply said that pervasive developmental disorders in that school thing and said that these numbers increased when measles, mumps, rubella vaccination uptake rates significantly decreased. And he provided a chart that was very implicate, and when you look at it, it all looks amazingly interesting. You see the number on the top line, the number of the MMR vaccination ratio, the percentage going down slowly, and on the bottom line, the number of cases of pervasive developmental disorder increasing. The only thing that he forgot to make clear is that, and this is what we discovered thanks to, again, to our dear parents who helped us, is that the actual number that he had obtained on MMR, those percentages of MMR vaccination from the year, from the year 87 to the year 98, were not from the Montreal area, but were from the city of Quebec area. That's 265 kilometers away, by the way. So, obviously, I was amazed at this thing alone, and that was the main the only simple thing that I wanted to question. So I wrote a letter to the editor of Pediatrics, and I just asked a simple question. How can possibly could rates of vaccination, rates of MMR vaccination in Quebec City be in any way important to the rate of this pervasive developmental disorder in Montreal? It's 2.5 hours by car away. And the editor asked Dr. Fombon to respond. He refused to respond, and when he decided to respond, he told him that I am just interested in proving that MMR causes autism, and therefore there was no need to respond, and the editor again did not publish my letter.
In other words, it doesn't matter. You're not going to address the issue. We're just going to attack the other person who's asking the question, because if you don't like the message, you attack the messenger, but you never explain how you would want to include people from Quebec in a study of Montreal.
It was never explained. And the story, the interesting thing, Stan, is that, as you know, I've been a fellow of the Academy since 1963. As a matter of fact, I've been a fellow 9 years before the editor was. And I have never written, this is the first letter to the editor I have ever written. It's not that I am, a troublemaker writing letters right and left. I'm just answering a simple, simple question. How is it that we're looking at the Quebec City numbers? And my letter was never published. So, in a sense, I'm still waiting for an answer from Dr. Fombon. Maybe he has a good answer. But the fact is that if he doesn't answer me, and if the rest of the doctors, the 70,000 pediatricians who are going to read the journal are reading information that says that, when MMR percentages came down, PDD increased, and therefore they're not related. But that's not true, because we're not talking about, we're talking apples and oranges here. But more importantly, I did go ahead and look. Then we obtained, again, thanks to our good parents, we obtained the figures on Montreal MMR vaccination. And indeed, believe it or not, in Montreal, if he had looked at the Montreal figures, and I have them, and I sent them to the editor, I said, here are the figures from Montreal. In Montreal, the percentage of vaccination of MMR increased as the PDD diagnosis increased. So it was exactly the opposite of what the study claimed had happened. When you looked at Montreal figures, the numbers increased. And now we wanted to look further. Why did this happen? And again, we discovered that in 1996, what happened in the province of Quebec, in the whole province, what happened is that they introduced a booster dose at the age of 18 months. Now, remember, we give our booster here at 4 or 5 years. Over there, they give the first dose at 12 to 15 months, the second dose at 18 months. So the kid gets two doses of MMR, but by the time he is 18 months of age, or just about that time. And what happened, and that's since 1996, what happened, that's exactly that. When that happened, although the percentage went down by 2 or 3% of the number of children who were vaccinated, but actually those who were vaccinated received a double vaccine, increasing the number of actual doses immensely, immensely. This was never mentioned in the study in any way, shape, or form. I didn't want to mention this myself in my letter because I said it would confuse the whole thing because... But what I did mention in the letter is that the numbers in Montreal increased proportionately to the increase or along with the increase in PDD, and mentioned the story about Quebec City being 265 kilometers away. Now, Dr. Ayoub and Mrs. Rusiti also wrote very, very careful analysis, of the debunking the statements about the mercury. Now, according to the author, there was no mercury whatsoever at all in the vaccines after 1996. Well, we have found and they try to tell the editor that we have found that indeed it is true that the major vaccine was devoid of mercury after 1996, but there were vaccines that were, had mercury until 97 and 98. There's no question about that. We also have absolute proof that the hepatitis B vaccine was not licensed mercury-free until 2001. We also know that there has been a, there had been a meningitis scare, and there was a wide vaccination program giving meningitis vaccine, and one of the products, 24% of the doses contained mercury. So there was mercury. In addition to this, which is the most important thing, is that all foreign children, all immigrants, all children born to foreign people, have extra vaccines because to prevent certain diseases that they come. All adopted children, for example, would have some vaccines repeated sometimes. In our case here of the son of our co-author, he was born in Colombia. He received the shots over there, and then when he came to Canada, he received another shot of hepatitis B that contained a small amount of mercury. So it is not true that absolutely no thimerosal was present in all of the vaccines. And as you know, they have now instituted the influenza vaccine in Canada, and that contains a little bit of, a dose of thimerosal, an amount of thimerosal. What we also found out is that the authors never inspected the actual vaccination records of the students. But what we are realizing slowly in our study, and this is what we will be publishing, is that when you look at the school system, now he looked at the English system, at the British system. Now all of the British system, all the students there are Canadian born, mostly, in English speaking. When all immigrants go to the French school, now when you look at the French school, for example, one particular French school has a lot of immigrant children, or children born in Montreal, but of immigrant parents. When you look, for example, at the number of Haitian in that school, the number of Haitian to the general population is only 3.5% of the population, of the student population. But they constitute 42% of the PDD cases.
42% of the what cases?
Of the PDD, of the pervasive developmental disorder cases.
In other words, so there's a much higher rate among the Haitians.
Exactly, because these are children that come and either they have their vaccines repeated. They have a clinic going full-time taking care of immigrant children. And also, over there, if you come with a... like it is here, by the way, when in any immigrant who comes to this country and doesn't have a vaccination record, the child gets all his shots repeated. All our adoptive children are repeated here and are repeated there. So there is a huge reservoir of... and these are... remember that these are the majority of the students are going to those French schools, of those immigrants are going to the French schools. Many of them are receiving vaccines. Now, are they all not containing mercury? We don't believe so. We believe that many of these children have received over the years some vaccines, are still receiving, and specifically right now, the only now when we know for sure is the influenza vaccine, for example, still contains the mercury. So, saying categorically that mercury was nil after 1996, we believe that is not a correct statement. And when Dr. Ayoub and Mrs. Rossetti wrote to the editor complaining about that statement and giving him some data, the same data that I tried to give you very quickly, also their letter was refused and was not published.
Well, the only thing you can do is try to go to other journals, because obviously the Journal of Pediatrics has people there who have a political agenda. Are you able to get these articles published elsewhere?
Well, I mean, once we get them, we hope to publish this big paper that we're writing, and our paper would be much more important, comprehensive than his paper, because we are going to be looking at He looked at one school board. We're going to look at all five school boards. He looked at 1 year, which is 2003-2004. We're going to look at 98-99 up to 06-07. No, we're going to go 9 years. The birth cohort analyzed, he looked at 11 years. We're going to look at 17 years. His enrollment population, he looked at 27,749. Well, God willing, we are looking at 1.6 million kids. And the pervasive developmental disorder population, he is looking at 180, and in our study, we look at 5,100. But like you said, once we write this paper, and which is getting ready to be published, who is going to publish it? And I can assure you that we're going to have trouble publishing it. Because this is what happens to all our stuff. And this is why, if you look at my stuff, 90% of what I have written is on the Internet. And I cannot get it published. I mean, it's a loss of time to go and song and dance, and then you get the refusal. So they're either refused at the level of the editor from the beginning, or they go to peer review and you get somebody to come and tell you, well, you know, this has such and such a problem, refuse it. It is very tough, very tough.
Well, let me assure you,
it's very tough to publish anything that doesn't go with what the CDC wants it to say.
In other words, there is an official government party line, and anybody who goes against that is going to find organized resistance. And
yes.
But I have read your articles in the Journal of the American Physicians and Surgeons.
I mean, did you think that these were not good enough to be published anywhere? But yet, let me tell you, that never. I mean, I remember when Dr. Goldman and myself wrote the paper responding to the MMR study from Denmark, that big study. And we shot it. No, I think our study was pretty good. Our paper was very reasonable. We had everything explained. Everything was clear, put in black and white. We could not get it published.
Yeah.
And thank God for the General Physicians and Surgeons. The editor was kind enough to accept it, to send it for peer review. It was peer reviewed. We were asked to make minor changes, and it was published. But without them, it would have never seen the light of day. And the same with a lot of our stuff. It can never go to the big journals where we want to. But obviously, we don't have the director of a center of disease control or a center from the CDC recommending our paper. All of these authors get recommendations from multiple agencies to the editors to recommend to them to accept those papers and publish them.
In other words, there's certain information that the American people are to know, and they are never to understand that they have been poisoning the mind of our children with mercury. After all, you wouldn't trust the CDC. You wouldn't trust the FDA. You wouldn't trust the EPA and the other organizations if the American people realized that they were withholding information. And what is so incredible, and whether you read Time or Newsweek or U.S. News, they keep talking about the epidemic of autism, but oh, shucks, we don't know why it's occurring, but we can assure you it has nothing to do with mercury, and the last thing you want to do is try to get your child treated. And yet there are effective treatments. This is what is so criminal about it, and many of these children could be helped, and everything's being done to block it, and the doctors who are trying to do it many times to treat these children and help them many times come under tremendous pressure. It's almost as if we live in a world gone mad. I'm sure you must feel that, and I can sense your frustration. But I hope
the story is that, you know, unfortunately, I'm getting old, I'm getting tired, and thank God for Dave Ayoub coming up to take up now, because he has just been wonderful in this organization. I mean, he is going, looking at all these new vaccines, writing about them, and unlike me, he has no interest. I mean, he does not have a child. God forbid, thank God, he does not have a child with autism like we do. But he's just writing it because he just realizes that it is wild. It's crazy that we keep on giving vaccines to people. I mean, when you think about this new vaccine that they want to give to every girl to prevent, four strains of human papillomavirus, and then out of the blue, without even thinking about it, the governor of Texas mandates it. I mean, my God, I mean, what's going to happen? I mean, this is crazy. This is wild. I mean, We have to look at those things. We have to wait and see what reactions you're going to be getting, what is happening before you go around mandating it. So just because somebody said that it is definitely going to prevent a certain number of cases of cancer of the cervix. Sure, it may prevent it, but we have to just look at things quietly and calmly, not just keep on adding vaccine after vaccine after vaccine.
And, of course, the thing is that we won't know for 20 or more years, probably even longer,
exactly,
if this is really going to do anything to the cervical cancer statistics. Because women don't get it. They want to start vaccinating at age 9 to 11. And, of course, women don't usually get their cervical cancer until 45, 50 years of age. So something's very wrong with what's going on in American medicine today. And, of course, most doctors really don't know. That's why we need your help.
Thank you, sir.
Well, our guest is Dr. Yazbek. Would you like to get your website out there again so people
know? Sure. It's vaccine.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
The dollar has lost over 50% of its value in the last 3 years, and it is still falling, while gold has gone up over 60% in the last 3 years. As the dollar continues to fall, you have a well-thought-out plan to preserve the wealth you've worked hard all your life to accumulate? Historically, gold and silver have been real financial security for those who understand the abuses and dangers of paper currencies. Have you considered buying gold and silver, but you don't know how to go about doing it? The gold coin industry has a real problem. It abounds with scam artists. I have written a 26-page paper entitled Gold and How to Avoid the Scams in the Coin Industry. So if you'd like to educate yourself before you buy, give me a call, Cal Grunwald, at my new number, 414-234-8267, and I will send you my paper on the scams in the coin industry at no charge. That's 414-234-8267.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Dr. Yazbek. To really understand what this is about, we have an excellent DVD and or video. It's called Mercury, Autism, and the Global Population Control Agenda. Mercury, Autism, and the Global Population Control Agenda. And, of course, it's by Dr. Ayub. It's a talk he gave at our conference here, and if you get either the video or the DVD, you get a copy of the CD that goes with that, and the CD has thousands of pages of papers. It's a CD-ROM, and you can actually read all these papers. You can make copies of them. Suppress reports. There is a global population agenda. You have to realize they've left the thimerosal in the vaccines they're giving to the little black children throughout the world, because it destroys their fertility, not only in one generation, but in subsequent generations. It affects their mind. It lowers their intelligence. And, of course, how could you justify doing something that? Because there's a different agenda. We have a four-tape set on autism. We have two four-tape sets on mercury. Dr. Geyer and his son got into the CDC a database and found out that there are groups of children that have gotten vaccines that didn't contain mercury in it, and comparing those with the children that did get mercury, 27 times more children got autism in the group that got the thimerosal than the group that didn't. 27 times. Of course, we also know that the Amish children do not get autism because they won't allow their children to be vaccinated. Certainly, so many of our children have autoimmune disease. So many of our children have asthma. But you don't see this, and the children are not getting vaccinated. They cannot let you know that they're hurting our children. Why would anybody want to hurt children? Because there are people who have a different worldview. That's why you need to see my video or read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and then our most recent DVD entitled Forbidden Secret. You need to get those two. You need to begin to grasp what this is about. If I could suggest my talk on planned population reduction. Planned population reduction. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Again, the DVD or CD, pardon me, DVD or video, A Mercury, Autism, and the Global Population Agenda by Dr. Ayoub. And when you get that, if you ask for the CD-ROM, we'll give you that for nothing, with thousands of pages of information and scientific articles. And then, of course, my talk on the Forbidden Secret and certainly my talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness. Let me once again mention we have two four-tape sets on autism. We have a four-tape set on, pardon me, we have two four-tape sets on mercury, one four-tape set on autism. We carry the book, Evidence of Harm, going to what the mercury has done. And then to put this into perspective, my talk on planned population reduction. That's planned population reduction. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We want you to try to prove that we're wrong. Try to prove we're wrong. Understand, I've been to the CDC. I talked to these people. Some of them were very good. Some of them had an agenda. And of course, I was there to talk about the AIDS epidemic. And we tell about the story in my book, AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. 500,000 Americans, 570,000 Americans have died of AIDS totally unnecessarily. Another million are infected throughout the world. 30 or 40 million have died, and another 20 or 30 million infected, all unnecessary. There is a global population reduction campaign. Here in America, it was targeted at homosexuals. But perhaps next time, it'll be you or your children. Pray for America. Pray for Radio Liberty. Pray for our provision and protection until tomorrow. May the Lord be with you.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU Band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
With news on the Information Radio Network, I'm John Russell. The Bush administration is welcoming Iran's promised release of 15 captured British sailors and Marines, but cautiously. Vice President NBC News said he's glad to hear the release, but adds it was unfortunate that they were ever taken in the first place.
I think it was unfortunate that they were ever taken in the first place. There's considerable evidence that they were, in fact, in Iraqi territorial waters when this happened.
Itan Carney is a neighbor of Robert Levinson, the former FBI agent who is missing Iran, and he says he would like to see his friend return home.
I hope that Mr. Levinson will be found.